Radio Prague News.
A bill to ban smoking is making a comeback. A US military convoy enters the Czech Republic on its way to the Baltics, and a Czech lawyer is facing punishment for her comments attacking Islam. Minister of Health Svatopluk Němeček will reintroduce a bill to the government on Monday for the banning of smoking in restaurants and other places. That move was decided by a meeting of coalition government party leaders on Friday. The meeting was called by Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka in the wake of the defeat of the previous proposal in the lower house of parliament on Wednesday. Friday's meeting was not attended by ANO leader Andrej Babiš or the leader of the Christian Democrats Pavel Bělobrádek, both of whom said they had prior engagements. The defeat of the bill on Wednesday sparked rancour in the ruling government coalition, mostly focused on the ANO lawmakers who voted three different ways on the final proposal. A US military convoy crossed into the Czech Republic on Friday morning. The convoy, around half as big again as the one which was welcomed last year, is on its way to exercises in the Baltic states. Czech army vehicles are due to join the convoy on Saturday, when Czech and US soldiers will get a chance to familiarise themselves with the different equipment being used. The US convoy should quit Czech territory on Monday morning. The Czech Bar Association and state prosecutors have said they're looking into controversial comments by lawyer Klára Samková. Samková compared Islam during a seminar in the lower house of parliament on May the 18th to Nazism and communism. The comments prompted a walkout by the Turkish ambassador and representatives of other Islamic countries attending the meeting. The Bar Council says it is examining whether the comments were in conflict with its ethical code and the prosecutor for Prague 1 into whether they represent a criminal offence. Samková later suggested the Turkish ambassador should be expelled from the Czech Republic. Minister of the Interior Milan Chovanec has said he will challenge a decision by Prague city authorities and Prague 1 local council that demonstrators who carried a mock gallows should not even be fined. Chovanec said he was offended that the action during a demonstration against immigration in July last year in Prague was not even considered as a civil offence. During the demonstration, attended by several hundred, placards were also carried accusing some politicians of treason against the country. Dozens paid their last respects to designer and illustrator Adolf Born at Prague's Strasnice Crematorium on Friday. He died at the age of 85 on Sunday. Some of the mourners dressed up in traditional costumes from the end of the Habsburg era. Born was a great admirer of Austro-Hungarian Empire, which preceded the creation of the independent Czechoslovakia in 1918. The ceremony ended with a rendition of Born's favourite Radetzky March by Johann Strauss Sr. Born was the illustrator of hundreds of children's books enjoyed by four generations of Czechs. And finally, Czech top women's singles player Petra Kvitová has been eliminated from the French Open in the third round. Kvitová lost 0-6, 7-6, 0-6 to US player Shelby Rogers. Rogers already knocked out Czech Karolina Plíšková in the first round. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, as politicians fail to ban smoking in Czech pubs, we find out where public opinion stands on the matter. A festival in Prague presents the cultures of Jerusalem. And later we hear about the long-running Zlín Children's Film Festival. All that's coming up in today's programme. Surveys have repeatedly shown that most Czechs back a ban on smoking in the country's pubs and restaurants, a move that was rejected by deputies in the lower house just this week. Polling agency Ipsos, together with the Faculty of Social Sciences at Charles University, has been mapping public opinion on the matter for some years. Jan Vellinger spoke to the project's Dr. Denisa Hejlova, head of the Department of Marketing, Communications and Public Relations at Charles University, and he asked her how the view of the public on smoking in pubs had evolved since 2012.
The number of people who were really like not willing to smoke in restaurants was basically the same, 78%. Now, what has risen is the number of the people who strongly disagree with smoking in restaurants and public spaces. What is also significant is we did another research in 2014 focusing on young people. And what the young people claim is 25% of them actually, which is quite a lot, that if there was no smoking allowed in public spaces, such as restaurants, but also bars and discos, they would have never started smoking, which is, I think, significant.
Certainly that's something which was taken into consideration by the health minister who put forward the recent bill, given that the importance of that ban is prevention, isn't it?
Well, you are correct. This was kind of like a social campaign for, you know, not smoking among young people. So we even had a press conference with then Minister, Health Minister, Mr. Heger, who really supported us, really supported this idea of banning smoking, not only in restaurants, but as I say, other public spaces where young people meet and they experience smoke, mostly as a, you know, secondhand smoking, and it affects their health.
And certainly when you look at the Czech Republic's place on that map now of countries that have not enacted at least partial bans,
yeah,
it seems like a very lonely position. Are we out of step with the rest of Europe?
We definitely are. We are really, we are even behind Russia in this aspect, which is alarming. It is kind of sad that on the map of Europe, we are the last country, but there is a question why it is, though. There is a question of very strong tobacco lobby in the Czech Republic, which is also a very big employer here. And a lot of politicians have taken a clear stand that supports their actions, prominently President Miloš Zeman. To take a strong political stand, which is clearly against smoking in the Czech Republic, is not so easy for some politicians.
That was Dr. Denisa Halová. Now, the annual Days of Jerusalem in Prague festival is currently underway in the Czech capital. Established 4 years ago with the support of Prague and Jerusalem City Councils, it offers a selection of dance, music, visual and culinary arts from the various communities in Jerusalem. Last year, the festival sparked criticism when a group of world-renowned public figures claimed it helped legitimize Israel's political strategy. Ruth Frankova spoke to one of its organizers, Jitka Panek-Jurkova, who says the festival has always been a strictly non-political event.
Our deepest persuasion is that culture is really the ultimate way how to bridge the differences between people of different backgrounds, ethnicities, religions. And we are very happy with the fact that it actually seems to be proven by the practice of the festival. One of the examples of that is that Muhammad Mughrabi, the rapper from East Jerusalem, who was here last year, is coming back again this year to perform with Israeli artists. The criticism is mostly coming from the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement, which is obviously against dialogue of any kind with Israeli artists. But our persuasion is that dialogue is necessary under any circumstances, and art is the best way how to achieve that.
One of the critics' complaint was that Palestinian artists were not sufficiently represented. So have you made sure this year that the Palestinian and Israeli artists are sort of equally represented?
Well, from the first year of the festival, we are obviously trying to provide as much floor to all the communities that are involved. For instance, we use open calls to get artists, designers and musicians to join the festival. You know, it is a bit difficult to say if we have ensured equal representation. It is obviously up to the artists if they want to participate. But this year we have, for instance, increased the representation of Armenian community from Jerusalem. And as I said, Muhammad Mughrabi is coming back. We have a wonderful chef from East Jerusalem to be cooking together with Israeli chef, as in all the previous years again. So we believe that we are doing whatever is in our strength.
You have already mentioned some of the performers and guests, but according to you, what are the highlights of this year's edition of Days of Jerusalem in Prague that are still coming within the next 3 days?
Well, one of the favorites is the music part of the program, and this is of the best quality again this year. Ade Ulmansky, a real superstar, is coming to the festival this year. She was part of the first Days of Jerusalem 4 years ago, and she's coming back as a real big name of rap scene. But apart from the music, we have a bunch of other workshops that are really interactive. We have calligraphic workshops that will be providing people with the opportunity to try writing in both Hebrew and Arabic. We also have dancing workshops with the mentioned Armenian dances. Today we have a wonderful debate about women empowerment, and there will be a novelty, which is a market with design. We have brought 10 young designers from Jerusalem who will be exhibiting together with 10 young designers from Prague.
That was Jitka Panek-Jurkova from the Days of Jerusalem Festival, and she was speaking there to Ruth Frankova. Now it's time for the arts, in which Jan Vellinger looks at the Zlin Festival of Children's Films, which is this year being held for the 56th time.
The Zlin Film Festival, an international festival for children and youth, gets underway this Friday. Over the next 8 days, festival goers will be able to choose from hundreds of screenings of some of the very best films for children and teens. I discussed some of the titles this year with the festival's senior program head, Yaroslava Hinchtova, who also described the decision-making process.
We are trying to find as many films for children, of course, as we can. But, you know, these days it's quite difficult. And I'm talking particularly about competition because it's a great responsibility. So I must say that me and my colleagues, it's really difficult for us to find the right one for children because we have to put together the mix of fun, morality, entertainment, adventures, education. And, of course, we want to bring new films. So I can say that we have a little less films for children than for youth at our festival.
And when it comes to films that are in the official competition, is it fair to say that they are, for example, more entertainment-oriented, the ones in official competition?
Or other way around. The more entertainment comes in a non-competitive section called Panorama. But of course, in the competition of films for children, there must be fun. We cannot screen films only with serious topics. It's about serious topics. It's the competition for youth mainly. So yes, we can say that it's much more fun. Fun is out of competition.
What are some of the films that are on the lighter side of the spectrum? Because I will also ask about, the more serious ones. But what are some of the lighter ones this year which you expect to be very entertaining?
I can mention the opening film. It's a wonderful Danish film called Vilas from Valby. And it's about it's a very funny movie and it's exceptional. And it's about a little boy, and his breaking point of his life. So it's his first day in at school. And what is wonderful about this movie that it celebrates the childhood itself and mainly to play a role. So to be a knight, to slay a dragon, to save a princess, it's more and more disappearing at the present. And one more I must mention, it's again, I'm talking about Panorama, as I mentioned, with funny movies. It's a Dutch film, A Little Gangster, about a boy who is bullied and so is his father at his job. So he invented for them the new identities of mob family. So, and I have seen it twice and I must tell you that I was laughing from the start to the end. So these are really great comedies and I'm very happy to have them at our festival.
It sounds wonderful. And it is really a genre into itself, isn't it? I guess as a director, as someone writing for children, you kind of have to be able to think in their mindset when you're making films for young people, don't you?
You know, everybody went through, the directors went through this part of life. So I think they put lots of topics and their emotions into their films because usually the directors are the screenwriters as well. And I think it's for young people, if I should mention, it's very difficult to make a good true story because you have to be true to your audience with the emotions and everything, because it's these days it's very complicated to cross the line between childhood and adulthood. So, and I must say that coming of age stories are more and more popular, as you can see, for example, at Sundance Film Festival with American indie films.
When I was young, and it was already in TV reruns then, the films that I looked to that were made for a younger audience were classics like Treasure Island or Huckleberry Finn, various versions of it. And that was the first time when I think I saw children who had to carry the burden of moral choices, and there was a message there. Do you think that today it is tougher to be growing up than it was then, simply because there's all these different layers of communication, social networks, different pressures?
Yes, definitely it is. Because when you look at the films we have for young people, about young people, a boy or a girl must think that growing up is really, really difficult period of life. So every period comes with some aspects, and these days it's very, very difficult if I compare it to my growing up, for example. It's our point to show young people lives of other young people wherever they live, and to show them that they have still the same emotions, even they live in a cottage somewhere in Africa, or in a hut, or in a slum in India. It's really, we are all the same wherever we live.
This is across the board a little bit, because obviously you have many different sections. In general, when it comes to animated films, student or otherwise, mm-hmm. are there techniques today which dominate? Is it more geared now towards computer animation than it was before, or are there still different, more old-fashioned techniques being used?
Well, I must say that animation is on the rise, and also at school in Zlín film, in Zlín at the university is on the rise, and they are very, very, very good. And I'm very happy and surprised a little bit that it's not only computer animation. On the contrary, I think especially students, they go back to the old techniques. For example, in the students' competition, there is one film based on kind of Hermína Týrlová style, and they go back to the puppet animation. So, of course, there must be some computer animation, and they are very good in the competitions, both of them, of short animations and student films. So it's a balance. So there are also lots of 2Ds. So everything you can find in our competitions.
If we look at some of the live-action features for younger people, for teenagers, what sections would those be? Would that be, for example, European debuts or Night Horizons?
Well, yes. For young people, 12 to 16, is the youth section, the main competition. And European First Films competition, it has a long tradition at our festival, but it needed a little bit of development. So now we can say that we are open to a quality film about a child or young people, but for adult audience. And for example, for university students here in Zlín, the main aim is to show the new point of view of fresh directors with fresh air of creativity and thoughts. So it's really prestige, and we are very proud of this section.
When it comes to Night Horizons, what are some of the issues that are examined or that form kind of the backbone of the story of some of those films? Because I read that some of them are quite serious.
Yes, with Night Horizons, we go a little bit over the top, so to say, because mm-hmm. we can be more bold in choosing the topics, because it's we call it midnight movies, and it's about children or young people that face a dark side of life, so drugs, sex, violence. But of course, we don't want to be too commercial and to show really original movies. So I must, if I can mention two films, because it's a quite coincidence, we have two films based on Romeo and Juliet, and I didn't realize it, but it's true. And I must recommend Social Suicide. It's a very topical film, a modern story for youth about a boy who could do anything for an internet fame. So this is really very topical. And he says, if you are not online, you don't exist. So this is the main premise. It's a modern Romeo and Juliet, as I told you. And mm-hmm. So it's the controversial Belgian film, Black. And it's really, really something. And it Brussels quarter, Molenbeek, and it's about two rival gangs, and it's really, really quite an experience for an audience.
I also wanted to ask about My Name is Emily, which was unusual for a number of reasons, including how the director worked on the film.
Yeah, it's a really exceptional movie, and maybe firstly I must mention the star Evanna Lynch, who is famous for the Harry Potter films, but of course the second reason is much more attractive for the audience, and it's quite emotional, and it's the director's story, because Simon Fitzmaurice, he suffers from amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. And he actually made all this movie, and he wrote the story as well. He made this debut using special software that reacts to the movements of eyes and iris. So this was really something. And we got a video message from him, and we were really happy because he's got wonderful sense of humor. Mm. Unfortunately, he cannot come, but of course, it was not only because of this touching story. The film is really a complex existential drama, and we would love to see more films like this in the distribution, for example.
That was Yaroslava Hinchtova from the Zlín Film Festival, and she was speaking there to Jan Wellinger for this week's edition of The Arts. If you have any comments about today's program here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or get in touch via Facebook or on Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.